So we're into this series now in about 7 weeks, and we'll conclude it next Sunday, called The Movement. The Movement is basically the church that Jesus started. He's the movement maker, we have said, and the church, or the record of the early church in the Bible, is given in the book of Acts. And so we've been into the first several chapters of the book of Acts. This morning, I want us to talk about, to begin with, problems. Problems in our lives. Where do problems show up in our lives? I just want you to start mentally getting a little prepared for this particular passage that reveals something in our Bibles this morning for us. It's going to be very good for us. Problems. Where do they show up in life? Well, if you watch anything to do with what's going on in our nation right now, there are problems being talked about all over the place in the political scene, aren't they? There's problems in our nation, isn't there? There's problems also in homes across the land, too, isn't there? Sometimes there's problems in marriages that can occur from time to time. Other times there's problems between siblings. Sometimes there's problems that parents have in dealing with their children. We can find problems sometimes in our health. We can find problems in our checkbook or in our financial array in our lives. Problems are everywhere. We would say problems are plentiful in our world. In fact, we could even say they're normal, because you could go down into your neighborhood, into the community somewhere, and you could find a problem, couldn't you? Think about a problem that you may have just been dealing with in just the past week. Is there anything that comes to mind? A problem in life. Problems, we have to, as we grow and deal with life, we realize they're norm. They're normal. They're going to come. An obstacle's going to get in the way. Some kind of an issue's going to come up. And we're going to have to deal with it, coming up with solutions, some kind of a response, a reaction to a problem. If you're in school, there's some folks in school here. Sometimes problems come up in that school environment. If you're in a workplace, have you ever had a problem in a workplace environment, either with an employee or with an employer, or your boss, or somebody else, a coworker? Problems are everywhere. A couple of thoughts about problems as we kind of consider them this morning. God understands problems. We took communion this morning. We're considering the response God had to the problem, really our problem, but it presented him to be a problem too. How could he be with us forever if he had to bring judgment upon our sin and bring a penalty upon our offense before him in that we broke the law, his law? Well, he solved that problem. He responded by becoming Jesus Christ and dying for our sin on the cross, being raised to dead. You know, taking care of our sin and our life forever. He gave us a resurrection from the dead to live forever. He solved a problem. So God, think about that, God understands our problems. He understands the idea of problems. Jesus lived in the flesh, you know, in a body on the earth, and he had some sibling rivalries. Some of his siblings didn't like him at a certain point. He had some what's called persecution against him because there were people that didn't like what he was trying to do. So he had problems. So he understands your problems. If you're dealing with a problem right now, let me just let you know, God understands problems. And he understands what you might be going through with your problems. The second thing I want us to just consider here as we kind of prime the pump here a bit on dealing with problems is that problems can be seen as, in many ways, opportunities. Opportunities to grow. This is a very positive side or angle on problems. Problems can get us stuck sometimes. It can cause us to be paralyzed. It can bring fear and insecurity into our lives. But if we push through problems, if we continue to move forward. This is what God wants. We're talking about movement. We're talking about the kingdom of God. And friends, there have been problems for Christians, for people that followed God since the beginning of the world and the beginning of the movement of the church. There's always problems. And God calls us to continue to move forward, to look at those problems in any way we can from different angles as potential growth opportunities. And that's what we're going to consider here today, because I want you to know that the church, through the centuries, the movement has had problems. Is that okay? The church, from time to time, has to deal with problems, obstacles in its path, persecutions that come from without, from problems even within. You ever been in a church that had a problem? I would say, if you had, every hand could go up and say, yeah, I remember we had a problem in a church this way, or there was a problem that happened over there in that church. Problems are normal for the church. I want us to look in the Bible this morning at Acts chapter 6. I'm going to move ahead a couple of chapters because I wanted to deal with this particular story this morning for us. And so it's Acts chapter 6 in the first seven verses, and I'm going to read the first verse, and I'm going to read it from the Living Bible paraphrase, okay, the version of it, because it just aids us in understanding it a little bit more quickly than in the NIV. Now, you could follow along in the NIV, and it's on page 762 in these Bibles that are available to you. You can also, again, text me any questions, and again, I'll never call anybody out, and I'll always answer any question or comment you might have via text to me. Even if I don't do it in this setting, I'll do it later on today normally. And so we're going to look at some growth opportunities in this story in the Bible that can come with the problem that it developed here in this story. I'm reading now, and this will be on the screen as well, so follow along. But with the believers multiplying rapidly, there were rumblings of discontent. Okay, that's code for problem developed, right? Those who spoke only Greek complained that their widows were being discriminated against, that they were not being given as much food in the daily distribution as the widows who spoke Hebrew. So the 12 called a meeting of the believers. Now, I want to pause there and just consider the nature of the problem. This was a potential big problem. You had a whole group of widows that derived their food from the community of the church. In that day, they didn't have the social programs that we have through government like we do today. And so the church was to supply the widows who were truly widows, didn't have family to help out in their livelihood, so they were to get, and this group was fairly large at this point, the church. We understand to be, numbers of thousands, probably even up as many as 20,000 or beyond. So there's large groups of people that were deriving help through the church. Well, there were those that were the Greek-speaking followers of Jesus that were not receiving as much food as those who were the Hebrew-speaking followers of Jesus. And you had this cultural divide already within the church. And can you imagine what that could have done to the church? I mean, division, civil war could have broke out, right, inside the church. This was a big problem. And they brought it to the leaders at the time, who were these apostles, these original followers of Jesus Christ, who Jesus had trained. They brought it to them. So I'd like to just make sure we understand right up front that problems are normal for the church as it moves forward in its mission together. That as a church is in movement, that as we're trying to make Jesus known, that's our branch mission, okay, to know Jesus and make him known. As we're trying to do that, as we're moving forward in our mission, that there will be problems. That'll be normal, that there will be something come up and we'll have to deal with it, like they did here in this story of the early church. And if you've been in other churches in your past, you know that that just happens. It's a matter of course that that is just something that is normal. But add this to your thinking this morning as we look at this passage. Problems are also, as they are normal, they're also opportunities to grow, potential opportunities to grow. Think back in your life where you came up against an obstacle, and it was a potential problem to you. It threatened to stop you. It threatened to get you stuck. And you pushed through, maybe with the help of God. Maybe you prayed to God. Maybe you decided, I'm going to just endure. I'm going to continue to push through. I'm going to continue to move in my life toward that which is the right thing to take the next step and move toward. And you pass through that problem eventually, and you came out the other side, and you look back and you said, you know, I grew from that problem. And churches do the same, as well as communities, as well as families, as well as neighborhood associations, as well as nations. The potential is always there to grow. Problems can be opportunities. And I think we see that in this story right here. And so let's look again at that story and ask, what was the response to this problem? Potential big problem, okay? So let's look back at the text. And again, this will be on the screen. Look what it goes on to say. We, this is the apostle speaking here, should spend our time preaching, not administering a feeding program. Again, this is the Living Bible's rendition. You can find other ways that this is rendered or spoken in different texts, but similarly the same thing. Now look around among yourselves, it goes on to say, dear brothers, and select seven men, wise and full of the Holy Spirit, who are well thought of by everyone, and we'll put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer, preaching, and teaching. And so what was the response, church? What was the response? The first response was to keep focused on the mission of making Jesus known. Keep focused on the mission of making Jesus known. In fact, the NIV, the Bible I'm holding in my hand, says it this way in that passage. It says, it would not be right for us to neglect, that's the apostles, the leaders at that time, neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. They decided that, number one, the first thing they were going to do in response to this potential problem was to keep focused on the mission of the church, making Jesus known. That's our mission. And in any problem that would ever come up in the life of the branch church, which we would expect would at different times, we're going to keep our mission the main thing. We're going to make sure we keep making Jesus known. We're not going to get stuck. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep going. Now, it means we still have a problem to solve as we do that, but we can't stop everything and then deal with this problem. No, we've got to figure out how to handle the problem and keep doing the mission of the church. It's just like individually, we can't get stuck. We can get stuck and get into a rut and never move on, never get accomplished. Perhaps the incredible potential that God has placed in each of our personal lives. The same goes with the life of the branch, the church, the branch. And so they just determined that they were going to do that. In fact, here's what's fascinating. In this context, just before this story, there was another story. It's in chapter 5, right? That was recorded. And what happened there was the apostles, the preachers of the mission, they were out making Jesus known at this time. Now, they were the preachers of that mission. And there was persecution coming against them. So much so that they were ordered not to make Jesus known. You can't do that anymore. In fact, we're going to go ahead, all 12 of you, lay out your backs, and we're going to flog you. And they did. That's what they did. All these guys had their backs laid open with scars for the rest of their lives, because they had preached in Jesus' name, and they were set. Basically, that was a threat that if you continue to do this, it's going to be worse than this flogging. What did they determine to do? Verse 42, it's the very last verse before this story in chapter 6 starts. Look at what it says. It says, and every day in the temple and in their home Bible classes, they continued. Hear that? They continued to teach and to preach that Jesus is the Messiah. Whoa, they kept focused on the mission with the great threat of even their lives. They kept focused on doing the mission of the church. What a problem, but they kept going. The NIV puts it this way, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They never stopped. They never stopped. At the branch church here, as far as I have to say, we will never stop taking the gospel, the good news, to the masses of people. We call it the growing number of people that are uninformed, underinformed, and misinformed about Jesus. Jesus is their key to an eternal life. And friends, there are multitudes, a growing multitude of people that just don't know. They're ignorant. They don't know. No one's told them. That's what we have to do. We have to know Jesus and then be able to share him, make him known to the people around us. And that has to continue. No matter what problems come up, external problems like persecutions, we'll just have to push through. If there's internal problems inside, like, some people are discriminated against within the church. That's kind of bad, you'd think. Hopefully that wasn't an intentional thing. Hopefully it was just an accidental thing. We don't know exactly, but it was a problem nonetheless. That problem came up. And so, friends, the problems that will come up in our own individual lives, the problems and challenges that will come up from organizations we're part of, including the church, can get us stuck, and we have to make sure that we are continuing the movement of the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. We have to continue to do that. That was the first thing. That's our first response to this big problem that came up in the church. What was the second response of the church to this problem? The second response is that they engaged more people in serving the needs of the church in its mission. Look again at this passage with an eye to verse number 3 especially. We should spend our time, they said, preaching, not administering a feeding program. Now look around among yourselves. Select 7 men, wise and full of the Holy Spirit, who are well thought of by everyone, and we will put them in charge of this business. Then we can spend our time in prayer, preaching, and teaching. And that's what they did. As it goes on to say in verse 5 and following, that sounded reasonable to everybody else. Okay, this is a good way to handle a problem. And they put up 7 guys, beginning with the guy Stephen, and then they presented them to the apostles in verse 6, and they blessed them, anointed them, the idea of, setting them apart to do something special in this case. So what did they do? They engaged more people in serving the needs of the mission. They actually delegated some of this responsibility to get this problem taken care of. They said, we can't stop the mission. We got to keep making Jesus known. We need help. We need more people to step up and handle this so we can, go forward and continue the movement that God has designed for the church. So they developed, we call ministry teams. It's this team that handled the problem, and I'm sure they enlisted more people. They were put in charge of it, and there was probably great numbers involved, but they brought everybody together, and they handled the problem. And let's ask ourselves, what was the result? What was the result? Look at verse 7 with me. Look on the screen at verse 7 with me. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles, and the number of disciples, look what it says, increased vastly in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. And many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Here the problem turned into growth. Growth, as more people became engaged in handling something that came up in the church, and they didn't neglect making Jesus known, neglect the mission of the church, then they had this incredible growth that exploded. And even unlikely, the Jewish priests were converted as well. And it was because more people became engaged in the life of the church as they kept on the mission task of the church. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that exciting? Let's just give a hand, applaud what happened in this story. Wouldn't it make you feel like that's the win? That's the win of the church, the body of Christ, is when that kind of thing happens. A problem would threaten, or the persecutors would threaten, and whatever it is, outside or inside, and yet the mission continues to go forward. In this case, part of the answer, part of the response to the potential big problem was that people stepped up to help and deal with it. Friends, I want us to look a little more closely at this idea of people stepping up and helping. This is an illustration. This is a story that's put there in our Bibles for us to consider. But the Bible's filled with how important every single person is to the movement being as successful as it can, to reaching what I could say would be our full redemptive potential as the branch. And you know what? It absolutely includes you. It includes you. You are absolutely essential to that. And so look at this couple of verses here that help in other parts of the Bible for us to get a grasp on how we are uniquely gifted, how we have a purpose and a function for the ever-expanding movement of what God is doing across the planet. It says in Romans 12, in verse 4 and 5, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Now, what he's talking about here is our physical body. It's an analogy or comparison to the church. The church is like a physical body. Our body is one, like the church is one, but it has different pieces that are all connected together, right? So they're not all the same, but they all operate in the same together. They're all in one movement together going someplace. If I go home today, I'm not going to leave my hand here, right? It's going with me, right? And my hand has a different function than my eyeball. I got that, right? And same with you, right? It says that we have different functions. So that helps us to understand the importance of every member of the church is likened to the members that we have in our body. My arm is a member of my body, my foot, right? My eye, my ear, etc. Everybody is very, very important. You sitting here right now have a special gift, and you don't have the same function of everyone else, but your function is absolutely critically needed. You have a purpose inside of the grand purpose of what God is trying to do right here in Camas, East Vancouver, through the branch church. Look what it says in 1 Peter 4. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received." Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. So you have a gift, and it's yours. It's unique. Your gift is, "You should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." You have a unique gift mix, every single one of you. And you have gifts that are usable in the context of what you'd be doing inside of what the church is trying to do that no one else can operate in as well as you. You're designed for that. You're created for that. God wants you to be involved functionally with a high calling and purpose in what he's trying to do in the church. So over the past couple of weeks, we've handed out these what we call spiritual gift inventories, and they also contain as well a passion and interest survey. Now, if you haven't received one of these, can I ask you to raise your hand? Because we just want to put one in your hands right now. What this is like, yeah, just raise your hand if you haven't received one of these yet in one of these manila envelopes, and you'll get one of these. And I want to ask you, we really should just get involved in trying to find out how God, this is not right or wrong to it, but how has God gifted you? And you'll discover through this a gift mix, two, maybe three, that'll be fairly high in your gifting. And then you'll also have an opportunity to give some of your interest or passion towards seven teams that are on mission every Sunday here at the branch. And the branch needs you to be engaged in serving. The branch needs you to be engaged in serving. If you look up at, there'll be a surgery room here. You might have seen this one before. There you go. You hate that picture, don't you? Because it kind of puts you on the table. It's like, but here's the deal. There's a team of people in the ER and OR rooms, right? And you want every single one of them because they're important to your life. Friends, God has designed the church, the body of Christ, that every single person has a place in helping to reach people, to bring people back to life and eternal life. Every single one of us is important. In fact, that's the thing I really want you to take away today, is that you are critical to the future of what God is going to do through the branch. And I'm so excited about what God is doing. But you remember the awe of what he's doing and the anticipation that the early church had as they were observed together? That's what we have. There's an awe about what he's already done, but it inspires us to anticipate what he's going to do through us and in us with the people of the community all around us. Exciting time. We also have given you a gift, another handout that you should have received when you came in. It's called On Mission Together, and there's a number of opportunities we have to grow, to be part of engaging and serving every Sunday at different times. And you are going to grow by being involved, by being engaged. This is really true. In fact, there was a guy, Eric Swanson, who surveyed his church. He had a bigger church, and he surveyed his church. And he asked them to what extent they're serving people in their church as they served and engaged in doing things in the church and in its mission, how that affected them. And there was an overwhelming positive response. In fact, there wasn't a negative response to it, but there was an overwhelming positive response, as is indicated by the results of that survey. I remember when I first was involved in the church, I hadn't gotten involved in any ministry, like, you know, checking off one of these to help out once a month even. I hadn't really done anything. I was just sitting there. But I was engaged and involved in participating in a singles ministry. And I was asked, would you be willing to step up? That's what, you know, basically what he asked me. Would you be willing to step up and help lead the singles ministry? And I'm so glad I said yes. It proved to be integral to my growth. As we engage in what God is doing, as we engage in movement to what God's doing, friends, we will grow. We will grow. Do yourself a big favor today if you're not engaged. Mark something down. Now, you can switch off if you find you do that a couple Sundays. You go, oh, that's I'm dying in this ministry. Okay, that's okay. We'll move you to another one, okay. But the point is, get engaged. Get involved in what God is doing, the movement of the church right here at the branch. So we have these needs and just want to encourage you to put something down and turn one of these in this morning as we will in a moment have our final song, and there'll be a tray pass, and it's for the connection card and anything else. So there's also offerings cards that are put in there, but this morning I'd love to see a bunch of these. You'll have an opportunity to complete the passion and interest survey as well as a spiritual gifts inventory. This takes about 3 to 5 minutes. You could do it even at the tables out here, as we would have pizza today. Would encourage you to consider doing that right at that time as well. This thing of, again, keeping focused on the mission. But as things come up in the church where there's needs, where we have to have more people involved because we're growing and there's something that happens over here and we need somebody to take charge of this and we need people to be activated to do some things, as you engage and as people form and grow into these 7 teams that we're having and that are expressing themselves right now every Sunday morning, we want to call you the dream team for the branch. If you're activated and involved in ministry in this church, you're part of what we consider to be a dream team that'll move the church forward as God, as Jesus, would have us do so. Okay? So I'm just looking forward to giving you the t-shirt as you come on to the dream team, okay? And that's probably a reality at some point here. We're going to have some t-shirts available you can wear through the summer and such. That just indicates, and you can let people know as they say, what kind of dream team you on? and they say the Branch Dream Team, and this is what it's about, and would love to have your engagement as well. So as I pray, the band's going to come up, and we're going to conclude and have pizza together. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the extent to which so many of you are engaged, by the way. It's exciting. And if you'd want to get engaged in another place as well, do a couple of things every month. It's not about doing something every week. There's a number of folks that do, but you could do something once a month to start. That would be a great start. Twice a month doing something else. But there's a number of things that we need right now. And we know that God will use his people. He's purposed to. You're necessary. You're so needed and valuable. So God, receive our thanks today for even the problems that come our way. Sometimes we don't look at them and aren't as thankful for the rough spots, the difficulties, the oh no's. But God, through them, we can actually find opportunity to grow. And you develop us sometimes in those valleys of hurt and pain and difficulty. And so we thank you for that this morning. And we thank you, God, for the engagement of the whole body, that your design for the church. You've created us to minister, to serve, to engage in this incredible adventure of the movement of the church. And I just want to thank you for each one that's engaged now and for those that are going to step up to help themselves grow and to aid in the overall growth of the church here at the Branch. We love you and we praise you, God. Thank you for the pizza we're going to have and the time around the tables to connect. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.